Thankful for this opportunity God's given us to meet together with you here in his house. Give me just a moment. The hand recorder shut off on its own, so I need to reset that. There we go. Now let's start all over. Very thankful for this precious opportunity God's given us to meet together with you here in the house of the Lord. It's good to see each one of you. I'm going to confess to you, I miss getting to come to you and shake your hand and hug your neck every Sunday morning. I'd mentioned to someone this week on the telephone how I miss coming to visit my brothers and sisters in their home. You know, that's a big part of my effort as being a pastor, just knowing how the flock is doing. Solomon had told Rehoboam in the Proverbs, you know, to do thy diligence, to know thy flock, and look well to thy herds. And it's important for an overseer, a pastor, to know about the flock, to know how they're doing and his care for them, and to see their needs. And I miss that. And I'm praying that the Lord would be our helper and strengthen us so we can get back to that, so I can, as a pastor, begin to spend more time with you as a congregation. I'd ask that you would pray for us this morning as we look to this article, Faith Number 7, here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church. I'd already mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of the Articles of Faith, they're on the back table, or you can go to our website at uniongrovepbc.com and click on What We Believe, and you'll find these Articles of Faith. The Article of Faith Number 7 here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church reads, "We believe that God's elect shall be born again by the Holy Spirit in due time." If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you'd like to read along with us, and I'd encourage you to bring your Bible on Sunday morning. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to begin this morning by reading the first 8 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 3. By inspiration of Spirit, John writes, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi," or teacher, master, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." The new birth, born again, regeneration, being quickened from death to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Circumcision made without hands, spiritual baptism. These are all terms that are synonymous in Scripture with this work that's done by God to the elect child of God. Our article of faith again reads, "We believe that God's elect," the elect children of God that are redeemed by Jesus Christ at the cross, "shall be born again by the Holy Spirit in due time," or in God's time. Here in John chapter 3, Jesus gives us a lesson. As he teaches Nicodemus, this is recorded for us as his children, preserved by the Holy Spirit, that we would receive this lesson and have a greater understanding concerning the new birth, regeneration. What is the new birth? What is regeneration? If we consider what the Bible has to say about the subject, could we say that regeneration is when a person accepts Jesus Christ into their heart? That's not true. That's a concept that's not even taught in Scripture. The Bible teaches us that it's the Lord that made us accepted, not that we accepted Him. Now, I believe the children of God should accept the truth about this, receive the truth, but there's no concept taught in Scripture of us accepting Jesus Christ into our heart and becoming His child. Well, the new birth, Brother Ronnie, is when the child of God hears, or a person hears about the Lord and they believe in Jesus, and then they're born again. Again, that's not a concept taught in Scripture. But what is the new birth? The new birth can be defined like this. It's when the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to us vitally by the direct work of the Holy Spirit. The voice of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are interchangeable or synonymous in Scripture. Jesus in John 5:25 said there'd be a time when the child of God, the elect child of God, would hear His voice and live. Now, that's not when they became naturally alive. That's when they became spiritually alive in Him, when they were quickened to life in Him. You know, when you consider the subject of election, predestination, that's positional. That's us being in Jesus Christ. Before the world began, a definite number of the human race was chosen, and that's a number that no man can number, and I hope I convinced you last Sunday, it's a very large number. They were given to Jesus Christ, represented in Him in a covenant of grace. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died for those people, and those people were represented in Him. We were immersed in Jesus Christ, according to Paul in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. The new birth, regeneration, quickening, circumcision made without hands, spiritual baptism, is when that salvation is vitally put in, imparted to the child of God so that they vitally are saved. Election, salvation purposed. God purposed to save His people. And the Bible says, what the Lord has purposed, who could disannul? Redemption is salvation purchased. That's when Jesus purchased those that God purposed to save on the cross. Regeneration is that salvation applied to the child of God. An understanding of that will help us understand the subject of life and action. How many of you believe that we have action before we live? Do you remember a time before you were born, talking to your dad on the front porch and saying, I tell you what, Dad, when I'm 11 years old, I'd like for us to play catch in the backyard. I tell you what, Mama, when I get to be 11 years old, I'd like to have this for my birthday. Do you remember those days? I don't. It never happened. I had to first be alive before there was an action of life. Understanding this subject will help you discern the difference in action being before life. Understanding this subject will benefit you in understanding the difference in regeneration and conversion of the mind. The subject of conversion is about the mind of the child of God. The mind of the child of God needs to be convinced of this truth, that their mind would be in accordance to what is in their heart. Regeneration is the direct work of God to the inner man, the heart of the child of God. The subject of regeneration and conversion are two different subjects. Every elect child of God shall be called regenerated by the direct work of the Holy Spirit. Not every child of God will be converted to the truth. If it was true that every child of God was going to believe the truth, the house of God should be full today. Wouldn't you agree? child of God was going to believe the truth, I think every child of God would be Primitive Baptist. See, the reason you have so many different religions in the world is the mind of the child of God can be polluted by false teachers. And even if it wasn't polluted by false teachers, we have a carnal nature that's contrary to God that was not eradicated in this new birth. Understanding this subject properly will help you understand the difference in regeneration and conversion that is taught in the Bible. You know, there's not one verse of Scripture in the Bible that takes conversion in an eternal context. None. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit in an eternal context. Conversion is in a temporal context. You know, understanding this subject will help us understand the real purpose of the gospel. What is the purpose of the gospel? To populate heaven? Would you amen that, Brother Phil? No, Brother Phil won't amen that. The purpose of the gospel is not to populate heaven. The purpose of the gospel is to bring light and understanding to life. And you'd say, well, Brother Ronnie, I wish I could find that in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. You'll find that in the Bible. That in the gospel, life and immortality is brought to light, understanding in the gospel. That's the purpose of the gospel. To inform the mind of the regenerated to the born again child of God of the salvation they have in Jesus Christ. Here in John chapter 3, Jesus gives us much instruction concerning this subject. You know, he had this man named Nicodemus. He's ruler of the Jews. And this man named Nicodemus is already a born-again child of God. Oh, Brother Ronnie, how could you believe that? He's seeking something. Did you know John chapter 3 teaches us the wicked, they don't seek after God? You know, this man had enough spiritual understanding to know that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man. No ordinary man could do what you're doing. No ordinary man can speak the way you're speaking. You're more than just an ordinary man, and I want to know more. He's seeking for something. Now, he comes to Jesus by night, which teaches me he's a little concerned about what people are going to say about him. He's immature, really, in his boldness of the truth. If you'll go through the Gospel of John, you'll find him mentioned three times, and you can see how he grows in grace and in his boldness and courage in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes from here in John chapter 3, coming to Jesus by night, to John chapter 7, arguing with those that oppose the Lord, to John chapter 19, actually begging for the body of Jesus. Wow, he grew in grace. This man comes to the Lord. And the Lord, when he teaches him this lesson of regeneration to comfort him, to give him encouragement, to give him assurance that he's going to go to heaven. He comes to the Lord, he said, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God. No man can do these things. Jesus said, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is he saying, Nicodemus? If you were not born again, you would not be desiring these spiritual things. Nicodemus says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? I'm an old man. How could you make reference to me being born? Jesus is not referring to a natural birth. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not at this, Nicodemus. And he tells him in verse 8, you know, the wind blows where it listeth. God does as he pleases. And can't you see the evidence of this grace in your life? Because we see the evidence of the wind, Nicodemus. You know, here in these eight verses, Jesus teaches us several things about the new birth. It's important to catch. One, he teaches us the necessity of the new birth. When Jesus said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, he's not saying, you know, you need to get it done. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. What Jesus is saying is it's necessary for the child of God to be born again before they can go to heaven. Do you realize even though God chose us before the foundation of the world, even though Jesus paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary, we in our condition are still sinners in God's sight. Have you ever read Ephesians chapter 2, which make reference to us being the children of wrath even as others? When were we the children of wrath even as others? When were we under God's wrath even as others? The others are the non-elect. They're the goats that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. When were we? when we were in our natural state, dead in sins, and that very well may have been just a week, a day, a month, 6 months in our mother's womb. I don't know. I don't know when the children of God are born again. But before we're born again in our natural condition, we're the children of wrath, even as others. And unless that salvation is applied to us, unless we're cleansed of this leprosy, this sin, we can't go to heaven. We cannot be in the sight of God being in a conditional state of sin. Can't happen. Even though the payment was made, even though God loved us, we will have to be cleansed of our sins in a vital way. And God did not leave that up to someone else. God Himself does that work. So the salvation of God's elect, the redeemed, is sure in God. You must be born again. And in this lesson, Jesus, when He's taught us the necessity of the new birth, He teaches us the source. You know, without understanding the source of the new birth, we can be very confused about the necessity of the new birth, right? If someone told you must be born again, it's necessary. If you don't understand the source of the new birth, you're going to search for it yourself. But when you understand the source of the new birth, you can have comfort and peace in that necessity of the new birth. What is the source of the new birth? This is God. God, He is the God of life. We have no life without God. All of our life is in God. Every gift that we have, this is a spiritual gift, has to come from God. Do you know in James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If we have life in us, dear children of God, the source of that life is God. It wasn't Adam when God made him that God spoke to him when he was there. He made from the dust of the earth and said, I tell you what, old Adam, if you'll just get on up and stand up on your feet, you'll be alive. No, it was God that breathed in him the breath of life. Life came from God. And in a similar sense, when the child of God is made alive in Jesus Christ, that life comes from God. That life does not come from a preacher. That life does not come from mom and daddy. That life does not come from a deacon, a friend, a relative. No, that life comes from God. He is the source of the new birth. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you ever notice in verse 3, that born again, the center column of my Bible reads born again or born from above. Now, I've said this before in the pulpit. My Cambridge King James Bible, the center column of my Cambridge Concord is actually supplied by the translators when they translate this King James Bible. What the translators did when they translated this, and I think you're convinced I love my King James Bible, right? If you're not convinced, go back a couple weeks and listen to my effort in preaching on the King James Bible. Those translators wanted the reader to understand that sometimes Greek words can be translated differently, and they wanted to make sure that you had both renderings. That's how honest they were. That's how much they feared God in that translation. The center column of my Bible reads, born from again or born above. The phrase born again literally means to be born from above or be born into God's family, to be brought to a place of life in God. From above. To be born again means to be born from above. Not to be born of my mom and daddy, but to be born from above. Jesus in that verse 3 teaches us the source of the new birth is from above. Life comes from up down, not from down up. There wasn't a time that I just grabbed my shoes and picked myself up into life. No, it was God that reached down and gave life. In verse 5 of this John chapter 3, Jesus gives more commentary concerning verse 3. When he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's saying the same thing with more commentary that he said in verse 3. That water in verse 5 is not water baptism. Years ago, I had a friend of mine, and he's still my friend. I love him, but he's a Campbellite. What is a Campbellite? Campbellite is those that hold to the Church of Christ. Baptismal regeneration. And what they declare in their preaching is, except you've been baptized in water, you're not a born-again child of God. So unless you've been baptized with water, there's no way you can go to heaven. And you may say, well, Brother Ronnie, is the people believe that today. Oh, yeah, they believe it. You don't have to search far to find them. And the man's still my friend. And he brought this verse to my attention. He said, that verse right there says, except you be born of water and of spirit. And he said, now, what are you going to do about that verse? And, you know, I just looked at him. I said, you know, I said, I've never read the Bible. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with that verse. And I said, no, I have read the Bible. And I know what I'm going to do with that verse. Do you know baptism is baptism and the new birth are completely different subjects. Baptism is depicting a death, burial, and resurrection. The new birth is showing life and being brought to life. When Jesus said, except you be born of water and of spirit, he's saying, except you be born of the spirit by the spirit. That's what he's saying. You're going to ask, well, Brother Ron, you got to prove that. If you go through the Old Testament, you're going to find many times that God referred to himself as water and clean and pure water. Jeremiah 2:13, Jeremiah 17:15, Isaiah 44:3, Ezekiel 36:28, God referred to himself as water and pure water. When Jesus says, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he said, except you be born of God by the direct work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. Have you ever noticed over in 1 John chapter 5, John refers to divinity as water. Of Jesus Christ, this is he that came by blood, water, and spirit. It's Jesus that we saw him in perfect humanity, blood. We saw him in water, in divinity, and he was one with the Holy Spirit in all of his ministry. Do you know this word and here in this verse 5 is the Greek term kai, which literally means even. So I can interpret this verse as saying, except a man be born of water, even of the Spirit. And you'd say, Brother Ronnie, you've got to prove that and even. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1, and let's look at a few verses in Titus chapter 1 and Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Notice that phrase, God our Savior. Go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Notice again, God our Savior. Let's look at verse 13 of Titus chapter 2. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Lord said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he said, except a man be born of the Spirit, by the Spirit. And he's telling Nicodemus, this birth is not a natural birth that's given to you by your mom and daddy, but it's a birth that comes from God, given to you by God. The source of the new birth is not through human means and instrumentalities, but the new birth is a work done alone by the irresistible creative power of an omnipotent God who speaks and it is done, who commands and it stands fast. Those words were the words of a man spoken in 1928. And those words were true then, not because he said it, but because the Bible teaches it. And they're true today. Why? Because truth never changes. Truth then is still truth now. It was truth when the Lord said it. It was truth when that preacher preached it. And it's truth when I quoted it. The new birth is not something that comes parallel from one to another, but it's something that comes from God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. In verse 22, Peter writes to this congregation of believers that have been scattered because of persecution. And he said, seeing, what is he saying? I've witnessed something in you. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. My question is to you, what is that word of God by which they're born again? And by the way, this seed is not agricultural, it's biological. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Whatever this word of God is the word by which we're born again. It's the word by which we have life vitally in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the word by which we now have regeneration as his children. What is that word? You know, my grandpa was a good small engine mechanic. He had a small engine shop. I'm trying to teach Joshua some of those things he taught me when I was growing up. My grandpa, sometimes when he had a lawnmower he was working on, he didn't know exactly what was wrong. He'd use the process of elimination. How many of you ever done that? Have something wrong, I tell you, I'm going to eliminate. I know it can't be this. Eliminate something else. I know it can't be this. I guarantee you, Brother C.W. Helms in air conditioning has used that process to find out what was wrong with the air conditioning unit. Let's use the process of elimination. Is this word the written word? It's through the written word and reading the written word, the Bible, that we are born again into God's family. Peter says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This book has the words of life, but it is not alive. Anything that's alive is responsive to stimuli. Meaning this, if this was alive, I could throw it against the wall, bam, and it would say, ouch. This book is not alive. This book tells us of life, but it is not alive. I had a friend of mine, he's a pastor in Georgia. We got out of a church meeting one day, and he left his Bible on top of his car. And he drove off. He said he got almost home and thought, I left my Bible on top of my car. And he said, Brother Ronnie, I went back to the church house. And he said, I think every car in that church house run over my Bible in that driveway. He said, that thing was torn to pieces. He said, by that alone, I know that book's not alive. It's not alive. It tells us words of life. So it cannot be by the written word. Well, maybe it's the preached word. Let's go a little further. Verse 24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God, or the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Well, is it the preached word that comes to us and we're born again by the preached word? The preached word is not of the preached word. Notice verse 25, it's by this word that the gospel is preached unto you. Is the gospel preached of the gospel? Do a little thinking here. Is the gospel preached of the gospel, or does the gospel tell us about another word? Who's the word? Who's the word that the gospel preaches of? That word is Jesus, is who it is. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that is made. And it's by that word, God, that we have the new birth, directly by him. So by the process of elimination, we prove it. The word by which we're born again is the living word, the eternal Son of God. John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. John is writing about those that received the Lord. In verse 12, he said, but as many as received him, or as many as believed on him. Those that received him are those that believed on him. You know, not every child of God puts their faith in him. They have faith. Some children of God put their faith in their faith. Some children of God put their faith in men. Some children of God put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe him, and by believing they have rest. That's not when they have life, that's when they have rest in him. But notice he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become or to walk like children of God. Not only did I need grace to be God's child, I need daily grace to live like a child of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Notice they were already born before they received him. They were already born again before they believed on him. Which were born by blood. No, it says not of blood. What does that mean? That means I don't have the new birth because my daddy was a Primitive Baptist preacher. I don't have life in me by blood. I don't have blood because I was born a louder milk. Brother Phil, you do not have life in you. And I know I'm picking on Brother Phil. I've already called his name out once. You don't have life in you because you were born a rash. Brother John Boland does not have life in him because he's born a Boland. And certainly not because he's born in Alabama. I don't have life in me because I was born in Georgia. No, this life is not by blood. We don't have eternal life, regeneration, the new birth, because we're born into a certain family. Even though I'm very thankful for my family. I'm happy to be born in Georgia. I know Brother John's happy that he was born in Alabama. But that did not give me eternal life, not by blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You know, I'm 51 years old, and I've been blessed to have many good friends. I have. I mean, I've got friends that I miss in Georgia. I've got some friends that I used to work with in shops. Sometimes I talk about them. I miss them. I love them. I remember Brother Leonard Mooney, a deacon at Faith Primitive Baptist Church, one of the best friends I've ever had. I love Brother Leonard. He taught me a lot. But just because I developed those relationships, that did not make me a child of God. That's not why I'm a regenerate child of God. Nor of the will of man. Wow, well, that takes out a lot, doesn't it? It wasn't by any choice that I've made or anything that I've done. And by the way, without God being first in me, there's no good works done by me. So it wasn't by my will. Jesus says this, or John writes to us, that these were born again, not of blood, not by them being born into a family. You know, just because you're born a Jew, that didn't make you a child of God. Nor of the will of the flesh, not because you developed some relationship in your life with someone. Nor of the will of man, not because you've done anything, not because you've read a book all the way through, memorized it, whatever. That did not make you a child of God. But how are they children of God? How are they regenerate children of God? Notice what he says, but of God. Bam! Boy, that's it. So by these verses, we've proven the source of the new birth, life, comes from God. If I am born again, and that's my hope, my hope is that God loved me before the world began, that Jesus died for me on the cross, and my hope is that you can see this life in me. If I'm born again, it's by God's sovereign grace. It's not because I've developed myself into this. It's not because I've turned from my wicked ways to the Lord. And by the way, children of God should turn from their wicked ways in their life. But I have life by God's direct work of grace. So the source of the new birth is of the Lord. He's our hope. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see or experience the kingdom of God. That word see literally means experience in John 3:3. Now we've discussed the definition. We've discussed the necessity. And we've talked about the source. What about the time of the new birth? When does it happen in the child of God's life? Does the child of God have some control of when that happens? Does the child of God come to some agreement with God that when I'm born again? No. The time of the new birth is solely in the hands of God. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I believe that most children of God are born again in their mother's womb. I believe that. I've talked to many people that have told me, I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't love God. Do you realize, dear children of God, if you love God, it's only because He first loved you. Now, I believe there's some that are born again after they were born in this world, but to be born again does not mean to be born the second time. That's not what it means. If that was true, then we got a problem with John the Baptist. If you ever read in the Gospel of Luke where John the Baptist was 6 months old in his mother's womb, and by the way, that was John in his mother's womb. It wasn't just a something. No, that was John in his mother's womb. Life begins at conception. And at 6 months old, when he heard the salutation, Elizabeth heard the salutation, his mother of Mary, the Bible says the child leaped for joy and was filled with the Holy Ghost. I asked a man once, how much Holy Ghost do you have to have before we could say they're a born again child of God? This child was full of the Holy Ghost, and that was before he was born naturally of his mother Elizabeth. That alone teaches me that people are born again in the mother's womb. But when they're born again, it's by God's sovereign will. He says the time. Have you ever noticed a text over in Galatians 4:28? When the Apostle Paul said, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise," Paul parallels something there. He parallels Isaac's birth to the new birth. What do we know about Isaac's birth? Well, Brother Ronnie, you had Abraham and Sarah. They said that we're going to have children. They got together and they decided we're going to have some children. No, that's not what happened. No, Sarah's womb was shut. She was barren. She couldn't have children. It ceased to be with her after the manner of women. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. No children here. The only way there's going to be a child born is if there's a miraculous work done by God. That's the only way a child's going to be born. When God did that work, Sarah had a son. In Genesis chapter 21, she called his name Isaac because while she laughed, she was happy. God made her happy. I'll tell you the one to make you happy. God make you happy. God made her happy. And that child, according to Genesis chapter 21, Isaac, was born in God's time. You'll find these words at God's appointed time. Do you know when children of God are born again? At God's appointed time. I can't speed it up. You can't speed it up. And hallelujah, we can't slow it down. At God's appointed time. Now I want to ask you this. Do you remember the moment that you were born again? I'm not saying it's impossible for that to happen. I don't. I look back in my life and I see evidence of growth. I can see in my life where I love God. I was convicted of sin, but I don't remember. Yeah, I remember when I was a missionary Baptist, we used to sing this hymn. "I can take you to the place, I can tell you about the time." You know, I used to sing that, but I was lying. I couldn't. I couldn't tell it. I don't know. Do you know, I was born May the 16th, 1969. If you don't believe me, Brother Roger keeps a record of that. But I can't tell you much about that day I was born to my mom and daddy there in Demers, Georgia, Habersham Hospital. Can you tell me about that time? Do you remember being in the hospital, being born, and the doctor getting you to cry? Do you remember that? I don't remember much about it. Was I alive then? Apparently I was. There's a birth certificate that said I was born that day. My mom and daddy was around, and many witnesses were there. And daddy told me when I was born, a doctor looked and said, "Marvin, what's that knot on his neck?" And daddy said, "Well, that's his head." But I don't remember much about that. I don't remember much about being 1 year old or 2 year old. Do you remember being 1 year old and 2 year old? I don't. But I was alive. Mama told me I was. Daddy told me I was. I'm 51 years old now. I don't know where all these 51 birthdays came from. I was alive. I don't remember much about it. Let me ask you, Brother Allen, do you remember your mom and daddy when you were like 1.5, 2 years old? Do you remember that? I don't remember much about it. But were you alive? Yeah, your mama tells you you're alive. I remember when I was 4 years old, my family moved from Cornelia, Georgia, to there where my mama lives now. Now, I remember some things about that because I can remember playing in the mud before Daddy got the grass sown. And I can remember having brand new woods to play in and run around in. I can remember going to see my Grandpa Ben, to my mama's displeasure, but going to see my Grandpa Ben because I lived closer to him. I remember spending time. I remember that. That was an event in my life that I can remember. But I was alive long before then. Brothers and sisters, I remember times in my life when I got convicted of sin. I remember times in my life when I felt sorry because I failed God. I remember times in my life where I knew I should do better and I should live my life better in the sight of God. But praise God, I believe I was alive before then. I was born of God before then, and all these were evidences, experiences with the life that I already had. And if I'm born again, and that's my hope, and I want you to be convinced by the life that I live, that I love God. I was born when God said I'd be born, and He put that salvation that I have in Christ Jesus at the cross of Calvary in my heart. I want everybody to know that I love God who saved me from the hell that I deserve. Somebody needs amen that. That's the truth. I don't know when I was born. I don't know when I was born of God. But I can see that evidence of that in my life. See, Nicodemus didn't know when he was born, but he was already born again. Jesus is trying to instruct him to know more about this, that you already got life in you. This morning, I want you to know this life that you have, it came from God. He loves you and He's put this in you. And the reason you feel the way you feel about yourself is you belong to the Lord. You vitally have life. You are saved by His grace. Jesus said in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now Jesus talks about the evidence of grace. That's what we see, the evidence of grace. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is some of those that are born of the Spirit. How many of you believe that text says that? Look at it. It says, no, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Every child of God is born the same way, born of the Spirit. Whatever we teach about an adult being born again, you got to teach the same about an infant in the womb. Did gospel have something to do with John the Baptist being born again? Could not. No. That was by God. Everyone that's born of the Spirit, everyone that's a vital child of God that's been regenerated, is by God the same way. The wind bloweth where it listeth. How many of you sometimes like to take your sheets and put outside to let the wind drop? You ever do that? Your clothes, hang them on a clothesline? My mama used to do that. She just liked the smell of air-dried clothes. I'm going to tell you, there's something about air-dried clothes. Air-dried sheets, boy, I'll tell you, they sleep good. Have you ever looked out there and says, look here, I see the wind. I see the wind. You don't see the wind. You don't see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. When I see the sheep moving and flopping and flying up, what I'm seeing is the effects of the wind. You know, the wind is powerful. I tell you what, you go by a place that has some heavy winds, heavy storm, you see a tree that's laid over in their yard, what you see is the effects of the wind. That's it. You don't see the wind, you see the effects of it. And what we see in our lives, we can examine with a self-inventory. What we see in others' lives is we see the effects of grace. The effects of grace. The evidence of grace. Let me ask you, do you feel like you've got an inner warfare? Do you ever look inside yourself? And I'm making reference to a spiritual way, not to turn your eyes inside out. Look inside yourself and just say, you know, I can do better than that. I should have done that. The church deserves me to live better than that. I should live better than that in the sight of God. You know, according to Paul in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 and 16, the reason you feel like that is you're a born-again child of God. You know, a wicked person doesn't have inner warfare. No, they got one nature. One nature. Esau never had inner warfare. If you've got inner warfare, if you can look inside yourself and see, I can do better, I can fight, and you're struggling to try to do better, and you're fighting to do better and do what God said, you are a born-again child of God. Not only were you represented in Jesus Christ in covenant, representing Him at Calvary, Jesus is in you, the hope of glory, right now. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you hunger for the thirst and thirst after the knowledge of God? Do you want to know more about the Lord? Nicodemus did. Nicodemus wanted to know more about Jesus. Do the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It didn't say if you'll hunger and thirst, you'll get blessed. Wow, that was easy enough, wasn't it? If you'll hunger and thirst, you'll get blessed. No, you're blessed to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what Jesus said Himself. Surely we can believe the words of God. I mean, I got where I don't believe a lot of folks out here, but I can always believe Jesus. And He said, if I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I am blessed. And I want to tell you, dear child of God, if you hunger for the things of God, if you hunger to be better, if you hunger to know more about the Lord, you're blessed of God. You have His life in you. A desire to pray. Sometimes at night, do you just want to talk to the Lord? If you ever woke up at night and said, I need to talk to Jesus. Boy, I love those talks I have with Jesus. He's a friend like no other. See, I talk to Him. I'm not His friend like Abraham was His friend because I'm such an ungodly sinner. But I thank Him so much for just taking time to let me talk to Him. And I talk to Him, and I want to talk to Him more. And I need Him to talk to me through His Word. Do you want to talk to the Lord? Do you ever just wake up at night and want to talk to Him? You know what that means? It means you're a born-again child of God. You want to talk to Him. You want to pray to Him. What about a disposition, a humble disposition in His sight? Do you believe God is sovereign and you're just a creation of His? What about there in Luke chapter 23? When that thief had done wrong, He begins to defend Jesus. And he says, "Your Lord, just remember me when thou enterest in thy kingdom." Wow, what a humble disposition. If you just think on me. He didn't say, "I deserve anything." He didn't say, "Give me that you owe me." No, he said, "You just remember me. Because if you would just think on me, just think on me." Do you have that attitude toward the Lord? The reason you do is you're a born-again child of God. See, all these are evidence of grace. Do you have conviction of sin? Is your heart convicted about your wrongdoings? You know, the Bible says the wicked are not in troubles of the men, neither are they plagued as other men. Psalm 73:5. That is a text every child of God should memorize. If you feel that way, you're a born-again child of God. These are evidences of grace. And in John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus, when he spoke to Nicodemus, this is not an offering for salvation. It's assurance to him that he is already a born-again child of God. He said, "For God so loved the world." What world? Not just the Jews, but my people all over the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Notice that believeth, it didn't say will believe. That does not say that. If it's translated that in a book that you have, it's an improper, wrong translation. It said believeth. Someone that believeth is already believing. Nicodemus was already a believer. Jesus is telling him this to give him assurance in what he has. He's saying, "You're already a born-again child of God. Believeth." What about over in Luke chapter 15? The Bible says that Jesus sitteth and eateth with publicans and sinners. Does that mean he's washed his hands and getting ready to sit down and eat? No, he's already eating. What about John chapter 11 when he says, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth"? Is that saying he's putting a cat outside and getting ready to go to bed? No, he's already sleeping. Well, if someone that sleepeth is already sleeping, and someone that eateth is already eating, someone that believeth is already believing. Is that good enough? This man was a believer in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, dear child of God, this morning, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that God sent his Son down to this earth, if you believe he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, if you believe he's going to come back and get you one day, that is evidence you belong to him. It didn't make you a child of God, but it's evidence you are a born again child of God. And I'll repeat what I said a few weeks ago. You're going to heaven. May God richly bless you is our prayer. Is anyone here this morning like to come forward and ask for a home here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church? If you believe this truth and you want to be identified with people that believe this truth, I said a few weeks ago, it's not